Great. Well, welcome everyone tonight. My name's David. I'm the pastor here. And if you're here for the first time, I just want to say it's a real privilege to have you joining us. And I hope you have a great evening and God does come and speak to you. And we really believe God speaks to us through his word. And so that's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to open that up and Matt's going to be doing that for us tonight. It's actually Matt's kind of second time preaching Sunday evening, but last time he helped me out with one of my messages that I was doing when we were going through it one time. Matt just really was spoke to me in something he shared, so I got him to come and share it. But Matt's going to be bringing God's word to us tonight, and I'd love just to pray for him and pray for us that we'd just receive what God's got to say through him tonight. So let me just pray right now. Father, we worship you. Lord, you are the God who changes lives, just as we saw in that video clip. Lord, it doesn't matter whether people are famous or not, whether people are rich or poor, whether they're doing great in life or struggling, you are the God who changes lives. So we come tonight asking that you would change us. Thank you for how you've changed Matt and transformed his life. And thank you, Lord, for the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for the words you've given him to share with us tonight. Lord, pray that you'd fill him now with your spirit. Lord, that you would speak with power. And Lord, I pray that you would just give him great peace and joy as he trusts in you. And so, Lord, I commit him into your hands. And I pray for all of us that we would be attentive not only to hear, but Lord, far more to apply what you want to say to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, man.
Well, great. It's a privilege to be here, and thank you for the opportunity, David, to come and speak tonight. I was praying about what to speak about tonight, and we're carrying on our series in Proverbs, and God clearly laid a passage on my heart. It's Proverbs 3, but before I start, I just don't want anyone wondering what's on my cheek. It's not a bogey. It is the microphone, so don't come rushing up with a tissue. But God did clearly leave this passage on my heart, And I'd like to share this with you. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And just a barometer, how many people have had this verse before, if you can remember off the top of your head? So it's either been your baptism verse, your membership verse, or your wedding verse. So it's quite a popular verse. But importantly, I don't want us to miss anything tonight. I want us to hear from God and see what he's going to say to us and be expectant. So Johnny's very kindly now passing the Bibles away with Jean. Great, it's on page 637. I'm just going to pray before we read it. Okay, let's just pray quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening, Lord. We just thank you for the songs of worship we've been singing. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And Lord, we just pray right now your Holy Spirit would, as David prayed, would come down and help me, Lord. But Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be amongst us, working in us, transforming us, hearing from your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, this verse in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Now, I thought a little test for this to see whether you've been given this verse before was whether you remember it. And I was just wondering maybe if you can repeat it back to me. Eyes up this way, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's great. Brilliant. Well, let me start by asking you a question I've been asking myself. Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Can you say in every circumstance of life and the ups and downs that your trusting in Jesus was everything? That's the question I've been asked myself. Well, we know actually when we trust in someone, it raises a question, doesn't it? Is trust a risk? And that's my first question I'd like to ask you tonight. Is trust a risk? And I suppose you could probably say it depends on who you are trusting. Well, Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Well, you have to know someone to trust them, don't you? And if you're going to trust someone wholeheartedly, you would want to make sure that they were worthy of being trusted. In order for that, you'd have to spend time with them to get to know them. You want to know their character, what their character was like. You want to know whether they had your best intentions at heart. Because if you're going to trust the wrong person, that could potentially be a risk. What if that person you were trusting was unreliable and they didn't have your best intentions at heart? How about if they took risks on your behalf? It wouldn't be a good idea to trust them then. I'm going to show you a little clip of someone that was facing that situation, and it's from the film Aladdin. Let me bring it up on the screen for us now. Here we go.
A fine prize for any prince to marry.
Right. A prince like me.
Right. A prince like you. And every other stuffed shirt, swaggering peacock I've met.
Mayday!
Just what? Go jump off a balcony.
What? Stop her! Want me to sting her?
Buzz off.
Okay, fine. But remember, be yourself.
Yeah, right.
What?
You're right. You aren't just some prize to be won. You should be free to make your own choice. I'll go now.
No!
What?
How are you doing that?
It's a magic carpet.
It's lovely.
You don't want to go for a ride, do you?
Great stuff. Well, Aladdin asked Jasmine the question. He said to her, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me?" And Jasmine chose to trust Aladdin there. But it could have been a risk. So what is trust? We hear this word trust banded around. What is trust? Well, the dictionary definition of trust is reliance on the integrity. It's strength, ability. It's a confidence, an expectation of something. It's hope. So to trust in someone, you have to have reliance on their integrity. You have to be sure about them. They have the ability to help you, and you have a confidence in them. You have hope in them. If you're not confident in someone's ability, a trust in them would be a risk. So what is risk? Well, a risk is very simply the chance or likelihood to injury or loss. That's what risk is. So if you were to trust someone who took risks, you could be exposed to that outcome, good or bad. The passage says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Therefore, are you trusting someone that takes risks? So let me ask you that question. Please talk amongst yourselves or the person next to you. Are you trusting in God? Does God take risks? What do you think? Does God take risks? Okay, so I can see some interesting conversations going on there. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot to think about it, but actually, the answer is no. God does not take risks. Risks are only there because of ignorance and not knowing the outcome. God is not ignorant. He knows every outcome. He knows every possibility. God knows every situation and how it's going to pan out. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-powerful. God has never taken a risk. So the question is trust a risk? And we said it depends on who you're trusting. Well, the good news, if you're trusting in Jesus, it's not a risk. Because God does not take risks. The passage instructs us to trust in the Lord. So who is the Lord? He's the King of Kings. He's the Savior. He's our Christ. He's our Messiah, our Redeemer. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's all powerful. The Bible says that Lord is everlasting. He's absolute deity. If you're trusting in God, it's not a risk because of who he is and what he's done. And the amazing thing, if you don't know that, if you come here tonight and you're not sure what God's done for you, he's done some amazing things. And the great message about Christianity is we can have a personal relationship with God through what Jesus has done for us. That's who we're asked to, being instructed to trust in this passage. In fact, you could say it's a risk by not putting your trust in him. It would be a massive risk not to trust in what Jesus has done for you. And if you haven't made that decision, we've just seen the Alpha advert. We've got an Alpha course coming up, which is a great way to discuss that. The other thing we notice back in this verse is we're not just to trust the Lord, but we're to do it with all of our hearts. And there's a massive difference from trusting someone when you feel like it or when times are good or bad, to trusting someone with all your heart. And that actually is total devotion to Jesus. That's what this means. In fact, the Hebrew, the original text this was written in, says the heart is the innermost being. It's your soul. It's your very being. So we're to trust him with everything in every situation. So it's important to get to know Jesus, as this helps us trust him more. We spend time with him. We build a relationship with him. We want to get to know his character. And the best way we can do that is to read his biography, the Bible. It's full of information of who Jesus is. His life, his death, his resurrection. It start to finish points to Jesus. Now, I was pleased David mentioned this morning, but he didn't give away everything I was going to say tonight. He said about the Bible being a great thing to do, to get in the mornings, to read your Bible. In fact, David's dad said to us men a little while ago in a men's day away day, he said, no Bible, no breakfast. And I think that's excellent, just to remind yourself, just to get into God's word in the morning and feast on that. No Bible, no breakfast. The question we're looking at is trust a risk. And we said it depends on who you are trusting. We trust in the Lord, this passage says. But can we trust in ourselves? Oh, come on, you know yourself, don't you? You can trust in your own ability. Well, the passage then goes on to another point. It says, lean not on your own understanding. This is a warning. It tells us not to trust in ourselves by leaning on our own understanding. Now, God has given us common sense, and we're told to use common sense for getting into God's word. But we're told also not to lean on our own understanding. Because if we rely on ourselves, it starts to become a risk. We take our confidence of God and we put it on our own abilities and successes. It's a risk because we don't know the outcome of our plans. If we were to say in the next 10 minutes what was going to happen, we could plan to say what was going to happen, but we wouldn't be totally sure. We don't know. Plans might change. Someone might interrupt the service. We just don't know. We're told not to lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding isn't as strong as God's. When you lean on something, it has to be strong and steadfast. Now, I've got a little demonstration. Okay, if I was to lean on this box of eggs, well, I'm going to put the carrier bag down first. If I was to lean on this box of eggs, okay, bit of a crunch. Now, without getting this all over my hands, we can see that actually these eggs have broken in pieces. They're quite fragile, like we can be sometimes. And they're not very strong, like we can be sometimes. And actually, this is actually looking like a pretty bit of a mess. I'm going to put this over here. And sometimes when we lean on our own understanding, situations can get messy. So it's important to keep trusting in Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Example is this, how often do you change your mind? Sometimes we change our mind all the time. God never changes his mind. We're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, in his power, in his abilities. We know the God we worship is the God of the impossible. Now, in my life, I know the difference from trusting the Lord with all my heart and trusting God not at all. In fact, there's times in my life when I block God completely out of the picture. And I tell you what, the times I trust in the Lord with all my heart, the times have been successful. God's led me. He's directed me. My paths have been straight. But when there's times when I lean on my own understanding and go my way, that's when the problems start to happen. And it's just awesome coming back to the Lord and trusting in him and his abilities. So is trust a risk? Well, we said it depends on your understanding. Sorry, it depends on who you are trusting. Are you trusting in God or are you trusting in yourself? We're going to look at another question now. Trusting in God and trusting yourself is the first question. And the second question we look at, should we take risks? Well, I'd like to show you another clip of something that happened on Friday on the One Show. And some young people were asked about taking risks, and this is some of their response.
Yeah. Men are three times as likely to be involved in a fatal accident as women. That's because they take more risks. But why do they do that?
They want to be number one. They want to show that they're the best, right? The alpha male.
I take risks, but not if it's going to have, like, a really bad consequence.
Girls possibly stay at a level where they're comfortable, whereas guys want to keep exploring how much they can do.
I grew up with three brothers. They did ridiculous things that I would never have done.
Should we take risks? That's the question. It's quite interesting getting other people's responses. And that was on the one show, as I said, Friday night. But a survey was asked of older people to look back on their lives and see whether they would do anything differently. And most of them said and answered they wish they'd taken more risks. They wish they'd taken time and taken more chances to achieve success. They wish they'd taken time to stop and reflect and look back on their lives. They often went with the safe option and chose security. We live in a society, don't we, which is risk averse. Risk is bad. Risk is seen as a negative thing. We try to build this safe environment around us to eliminate against risk. Often our world doesn't want to take risk because they're perceived to be costly. People take out insurance policies against risk, be it policies for our possessions, policies for loved ones, policies for ourselves, or even policies for our pets. Prevention of risk is also huge in our workplaces and leisure activities. Health and safety law over the years has been increased to eliminate against risks. Risk is often associated with money as well, because it's something no one wants to lose. People do what they can to seek the right investment, not wanting to lose any of their financial assets or security. We plan for the future and for retirement, and we do all we can to limit the amount of risk. Almost every message of consumerism around us says make the most of comfort and security now, not in heaven. Make the most of life, make your life comfortable now. Don't worry about heaven or worry about the future. Just worry about what you're doing now. So should we take risks? That's the question we're asking this evening. Well, interestingly, John Piper in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, writes, if our single all-embracing passion is to make much of Christ in life and death, and if the life that magnifies him the most is life of costly love, then life is risk and risk is right. To run from it is to waste your life. So we live in a world that seeks to reduce risk, whether it's driving your car, whether it's going on holiday, or whether it's buying a house, working on a building site. But interestingly, society seems to tell us that we can take risks with the things the Bible says we shouldn't take risks with. For example, the Bible says, love your enemy and do good to those who hurt you. The world says, get your own back, always get the last laugh. The Bible says, reach out to the lost and tell them about the love of God. The world says, don't care anyone about anyone else, just yourself. The Bible says, give generously to God and help the poor. The world says, look after number one. Store your money up for a rainy day. The world we live in doesn't want to take risks with temporary things, things we have now, but on the other hand, think it's okay to take risks with spiritual things, eternal things, God. Our culture tells us not to take risks with anything that might cost you personally, but are blind to the fact they're doing that when they take risks with sin. The world says, don't take risks with your possessions, but take risks with sin. The world says, put your security in money and not in God. Why is it that we take risks with sin and not for Jesus? I think we continue sometimes to take risks in the wrong area. We shouldn't be flirting with sin and sometimes putting ourselves in vulnerable situations. But we should be taking risks for purity, honesty, love. Now, if you were on a building site, you would have to wear what we call PPE, which is personal protective equipment. In fact, we might have a picture on the slide here. Okay, now this is what we call PPE. It's personal protective equipment. And the idea of it is to protect you from an accident or likely of injury. We take a high level of precaution, don't we, for some things. But do we take the same level of precaution against sin? Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Wow. Like David said this morning, we have to stand on God's word because that helps us in the defense against sin. Are you wearing your spiritual armor? We're in a battle. Are we taking risks in the wrong area? Are we willing to take risks with perishable things? Sorry, are we willing not to take risks with perishable things, but take risks with eternal things? Are we willing to compromise our faith by taking risks with sin? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." This passage tells us to acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. We have to therefore be obedient to him in all our ways, and not take risks in the wrong area. We should be taking risks with things for the kingdom of God, and not taking risks with sin. Three quick examples we've got here I'd like to show you now. Okay, the Bible says love your enemies. We looked at that a second ago. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 43 to 44, Jesus says this. He says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." We've heard it said, haven't we? Very often it's easy to love your neighbor and get your own back and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. So let's take risks in the right area. Let's risk loving the unlovables. The Bible says, reach the lost. Let's see what Jesus said. In fact, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "Then Jesus came to them and said," this is the Great Commission, "all authority in heaven and earth be given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age." The Bible tells us to reach the lost. Now we've got a great chance to put that into practice with Alpha and take a right risk for the kingdom of God. You might be thinking, "I'm not an evangelist. I don't even answer the phone." But take a risk. Ask someone. Now, one last illustration. It says, give generously. Thirdly, the Bible tells us to give generously. Our culture, however, tells us to hold on to our money, doesn't it? Now, I know this is a very generous church, but are we taking risks in the right area? Are we taking risks with our money? Are we being generous for the kingdom of God? See what Jesus says. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give and it be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." One pastor, I spoke to someone last week, and she said, her old pastor said to the congregation, "Give and it be given to you. Give generously. And if you don't find it given back to you, come and see me and I'll reimburse the difference." And how many people do you think came back to Jesus at that point? Came back to the pastor at that point? No one. Why? Because God's faithful. We have to take risks in the right area. Acknowledge him. When we take risks for the kingdom of God, we have to acknowledge God. We have to acknowledge him. What does that mean? It means to take him to account in every decision. To remember him in everything you do. Never to take God out of the picture. To praise him for the things he does for you. Acknowledge him in all your ways, this passage says. Get time with God. Pray with him. Listen to him. It's only when we acknowledge God that we can start taking risks for the kingdom of God. Now, the great thing about the Bible, as we were looking at earlier, is there's lots of examples of people who have taken risks and have taken the right risks for the kingdom of God. In fact, they've standard on this verse, as it were. There was Noah. Now, I love Noah. I think it was a great example in the Bible because Noah trusted in God with all his heart. And in Genesis 6:9, we see that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless. But importantly, I love this phrase. It says he walked with God. Noah walked with God. He trusted God. And God told Noah to build an ark. Well, what could Noah have said? You know, it's not rain like that. I'm not going to build an ark for you, God. You know, we haven't had rain before. No, he took the risk in the right area. He trusted in the Lord with all his heart. He didn't lean on his own understanding. In all his ways, Noah acknowledged God, and God made his path straight. He built an ark for the Lord. Then there was Moses. God told Moses in Exodus 3 verse 10 to take a risk for the kingdom of God. In fact, it says, God said to him, "So go now. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Now, if you know that story, it's an amazing story of how Moses trusted the Lord. He didn't lean on his own understanding and acknowledged God, and he led the people out of Egypt. And there's so many more examples as well. There was Abraham, Nehemiah, Esther, Daniel, the disciples, Stephen, Philip, Paul. I'm sure you can think of many more people who have taken this verse and taken the right risk for the kingdom of God. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Obeying God is vital in this verse. Putting your trust in him and acknowledge him. When we obey him, we're actually putting that into application in our lives. Are you taking God into account in every decision you make? Are you willing to obey him? See, lastly, when we trust and obey God, he will make our path straight. God takes us from A to B. Being led by God is an amazing thing. But does our path always look straight for us? Sometimes it doesn't, does it? It doesn't look straight for us. We trust in God, we acknowledge him, he leads us in a certain way. But the path doesn't always look straight for us, but it is straight for God. When we trust in him, when we acknowledge him, he will give a straight path. In fact, the song we're singing earlier in Psalm 23, it says, "He will lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So as I close, are you trusting in God or yourself? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Are you trusting him with your innermost being? Are you trusting him with everything you have? Or are you taking risks for the kingdom of God? Are you taking the right risks for the kingdom of God and not with sin? We are called to take risks for Jesus. We have to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because it's limited. As we saw with the eggs, when we lean on things, they're not strong. But God is strong. He always knows the future. Always acknowledge God in all your ways. Get into God's word. Pray with him. Never take him out of the picture in any of your situations or decisions. And God will direct your paths. He will lead you into spending eternity with him. Because if you're a Christian and follower of Jesus Christ, that's where we're heading. Wonderful place. A wonderful Saviour. Amen. Let's just pray together, shall we? Lord, we just thank you that you are God. We thank you that you reign on high. We thank you, Lord, that you know every outcome of every situation. We thank you that you are with us tonight. And Lord, whatever we face tomorrow, Lord, you're with us. Lord, it is your will that our paths are made straight. So Lord, we commit this time to you. Father, we just pray that we'd have more time with you in the word. Father, speak to us, I pray. Lord, I also pray that we would trust in you wholeheartedly. We'd obey you in every situation. We'd acknowledge you in all our ways. And Lord, ultimately, you will make our path straight. So thank you so much for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.